Hello and welcome to the Inspire Church Albany podcast. We just want to invite you to journey with us as we grow, learn, and strive to become more like Jesus every day. We pray that wherever you are in your journey, that you would be encouraged and challenged to take that next step in your faith. Enjoy this message on this month's theme, Relationship Goals.
Stirred out of your comfort zone, all right, everybody? Out of your comfort zone. If it's comfortable for you to sit in your boring old seat, then I want to rattle that seat this morning, all right? I've been sent. I am actually on a mission by God to rattle people out of their comfort zone. That's why I was sent to earth. I'm convinced that I was sent. Ask Julia. I rattle her out of her comfort zone every week. And the reality is, if you get too comfortable, see, the reality is we're talking about relationship goals this morning. And the reality, if we get really honest and transparent with ourselves, there's a lot of issues go on in relationships. Like, you look for happy marriages today, and there's a lot of people, and I meet them all the time, so I'm just speaking from experience here. There's a lot of people that look great together, but behind the scenes, they're not quite so happy. There's a lot of people that are incredibly lonely in this world today. In a world, that's the great thing about the church. Welcome to church. Because church is the one place there is no excuse for being lonely in the kingdom of God. No excuse, because Jesus is with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And man, I want to tell you what a great life living with Jesus as Lord in our lives. And so I'm probably one of the most excited people about this sort of talk, relationship goals, because I think it's one of the most significant keys in our lives. And so just talking about that this morning, okay? So here we go, relationship goals. Everybody yell it out, relationship goals. So you need to understand this. When we're talking about relationships, whenever you're talking about the goals of relationship, unfortunately, church is sort of goofy, so we're always thinking if it's relationships, it must be about dating and mating and all that sort of stuff, okay? Because we're small-minded. We're not big enough, okay? And Jesus came that we'd be more big. We're not looking through the keyhole with both eyes at the same time. We're a little bigger than that, okay? So we're talking across the board. Hello, everybody? Across the board. So we're talking about your relationship today. We sang a great song this morning about getting rid of anxiety. I believe that was strategically for people. It's amazing. I mean, I couldn't believe we sung that same verse so many times, actually. But then I thought, God, what is it? And he said, I am trying to unlock someone who is locked up in anxiety, who is trapped in that place of loneliness, and you can't break out of your own world. And that was a word for you this morning, just letting you know. That was a word for somebody here this morning, that Jesus Christ is here to break you free this morning, okay? If church is not about freedom, we missed it altogether. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus came to set the captives free. So if you're in church and not free, I'm failing, or somebody's failing. So we are here so that we can get set free and go for God, all right? Because it's only when you're free that you can really live a full life. You can't live a full life if you're not free. If you've got issues going on, if you've got habits controlling you, if you've got circumstances in your life that are pinning you down, you will never be free. If you've got injustices from your past gripping you today, and you're looking at those in your rear vision mirrors of your life all the time, you will never be free. That's why Jesus said forgiveness is one of the greatest keys on earth. If you don't, all of the blessing of God is really down to one thing. Can you forgive somebody? How quick are you to forgive? How many times can you? Because I want everybody to live free. I live incredibly free. I live joyful, happy, and free. Full of energy, full of faith, and ready for anything. Okay? Last night, Don Ramdari picked me up. God bless you, Don, the miracle man, incidentally. See, one of our issues is we forget real quick about miracles. That's one of the issues of life. One of the issues of life is we can have a miracle today and 6 months later you won't even talk about it. I'll ask across the service this morning, anybody had a miracle this year? Oh, no, only because I said. Five of you have got your hands up because I just prompted you to think back of it. But see, I'm prompted. I was paralyzed from the neck down. So for me, I couldn't lift anything. For months on end, I couldn't lift anything. I couldn't lift the suitcase. I couldn't even lift a handbag. That's the wrong word. Man bag. Man bag. Couldn't lift a man bag. And now I lift pretty much anything. Bags of cement the other day. And the other day I was prompted by God, remember you couldn't do this? Because we forget. And it's no longer a miracle. We accept it all as just, oh yeah, here we go again. But you're all living miracles today. Hello, you're all living miracles. It's a miracle you're here. It's a miracle you got saved. It's a miracle that God gave you his attention and embraced you with his love and you found that he actually has a plan for your life. That's a miracle. Because thousands of people stagger and ricochet through life without having any clue of God's purpose for their lives. I meet these people all the time. So it's like I'm not telling you stories up the front here today. This is reality of life. So relationships to me is very important. The number one relationship in your life, that the most important thing in the whole world is your relationship with your Creator. Good, you're so excited about that. Okay? So what you do need to realize this morning, we're not talking about perfection. Perfection is something we're not talking about. We're talking about progress. Because if we fixate, and the church often fixates, unfortunately, the church fixates on perfection. And if you're not perfect, we don't like you, and we sort of push you aside, and we don't accept you, nor do we encourage you because you're not perfect. But church was never meant to be about perfection. It's meant to be about progress. The Christian life is about consistent progress. The unfortunate part of that is that often we settle. We get so far, we progress so far, and then we settle and we stay there. I've met Christians who stay in the same place for years. I mean, that's not just Christians, that's across the board. That's in our secular society. I meet people who say, man, my life's all together now, but boy, you can't be all together for too long. The time and chance and the planet are moving so fast now. Technology, for instance, is working so far. If you think you made it when you could work out a typewriter, you're out of date right now, if you haven't realized that. Even now, the stuff you thought you've got up to date, think again, friend, we have got to be progressing in God. The Bible is all about, see, Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, okay, you've met me now, good, stay where you are. He said, follow me, which means we're on a journey. Jesus is on a journey with your life and my life. Your relationship's on a journey. Your encounters are on a journey. Everything you do is on a journey. So I want to challenge you that your Christian life or any life you're living right now is never about attaining perfection. It's about progressing from where you are now to where you want to be and where God's plan is for you. That's in your marriage and your relationships. And I want to tell you right now, we're for you. We're for you. I mean, you've got to know that there. Last night, it was funny because last night Don picked me up and Wayne, they picked me up and they drove me to this meeting. And when I got halfway there, I said, shoot, I forgot all my notes. Forgot my iPad, forgot all my notes. We had nothing. And so what do you do in a case like that? That's where you need some encouragement. So these guys were encouraging me. They're sending me verses on my phone and stuff. And so, but the reality is I don't need notes. Sharon, what do you got on your page today? Yeah. So
Jesus said, follow me.
There we go. See, I could just preach off Sharon or probably most of your notes. What's my title today? Oh, yeah, okay. But anyway, we had a night of revival. Now, the reality is that all you've got to be is in relationship with your Creator and He will download. I'm in consistent download from the Father. I don't want to be talking stuff that's just not connected with God. I want it to be connected with the Most High so that it will inspire you and lift you up. So where you've been, the places you've been does not define your future. It's right now that defines where your tomorrow can go. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's go to the Bible and see what it has to say about relationship goals, all right? And so I want to read you, and I think this is a pretty exciting sort of a chapter. Proverbs chapter 27 is all about relationships, all right? Proverbs 27, here we go. Do not boast about tomorrow. And Don can tell you that. One day he was boasting about tomorrow, the next day he's nearly dead in hospital, okay? You can't boast about, you don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do know who holds tomorrow. So who's holding your tomorrow? And that's just a challenge. For you do not know what the day may bring forth. Verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. That's just a great discussion right there on humility. We had the privilege of sitting down with some pastors, Don and I the other night, some pastors and leaders in the city. And people we'd never met before, I don't know how I'd never met them. But I was amazed at their authenticity and their humility. Just the nicest guys you've ever met. And talking about some of the issues that they're battling with when most people try to cover up their issues. We try to cover up the issues in our marriage. We try to cover up the issues in our personal life. The Bible goes on to say, verse 3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. What is cruel and, wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? I mean, there's some real, just listen to this stuff. I mean, anger and losing your cool and stuff like that, where words come out that you never meant well, that you wish you hadn't said. But how many know it's very hard to pull words back? Once they've been said, they're out there. And how many know that the confession of your mouth is the most powerful thing in your world? What you confess is absolute license in your body and in your spirit for your future. That's why the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you can actually talk yourself to death. Did you know that? According to the Bible, you can talk yourself to death. Some of you have been around people that talk you to death. I'll try not to do that today. I'm going to share this with Julia today just to stop that happening. But you can literally talk yourself to death. Neurosurgeons will tell you any surgeon will tell you that before they operate on you, before they perform surgery on you, they will speak to you today to see where your attitude's at. Because if you're negative, they actually now document before your surgery, if you're a negative person, that your surgery will not be as quick recovering as a positive person. That it will take longer, that you will probably come into all kinds of difficulties just because of your confession. The confession of your mouth is amazing when we talk. That's why we need relationships, incidentally, to change your world. Okay, it goes on to say, where are we here? Verse 6, faith, yeah, this is a verse I want to really hit. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Anybody ever had some faithful wounds from a friend? Yeah. You're the only one in the house. Anybody else? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Very rarely do we get that. But if you've got someone today who is a coach in your life and a mentor in your life, I guarantee you that like me, you can live a very, very successful life. Okay? I guarantee you can live a fruitful, happy, joyful, fulfilled, open, faith-filled, Holy Spirit-driven life. But you need to have someone who can talk into your life. Someone who can challenge you. Faithful, this is Bible right here. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of an enemy is deceitful. So people who come to the, oh, it's all right. You can keep living like that. That's okay. Nobody really cares. People who agree with stuff you know in your heart is actually not going to produce fruit, are a derailment to your future. We need people who can challenge us where we are. We need people who can stir us up. I'm stirred by the people around me. I've got 5 coaches in my life right now who stir the living daylights out of me. They make me angry. They make me disappointed in myself. But they stir me to live on a better level. And I would challenge you today, who's upsetting you? Like, who's upsetting you enough to cause you to step up and live a bigger life than what you're living right now? Verse 7 says, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. People wandering to and fro through life and not really on target nor on purpose or destiny. And I want to challenge that thought today. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight to my hearty counsel. Do not forsake your friend, hello? Do not forsake your friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Okay? In other words, stick around. Just let that sink in a bit. We live in a city of church hoppers. Seriously. Because you can't challenge anybody anymore, because it just upsets people. Let's just get down and bite on the bone today. and the reality is, we all want to live victorious lives. I more than anybody want to live a victorious life. So I've got to have people that will get in my face and challenge me a little and not run away. You know, Julia, God bless her, my beautiful wife Julia, careful what I say because she can get up in a minute. But there was a day when we had arguments in our marriage, okay? I know you can't believe that, but there was a day when we had disagreements. And I can't even remember what, a man can never remember what they were about. True? Only women can remember what the argument was about. So I have no clue what it was about. But this verse here became very strategic because it says here, don't run away to your brother's house. Anyway, the argument caused her to want to leave home. So next thing, I see her running down the stairs with a bag in her hand. That's not a good sign in any marriage. And next thing, she's down the stairs and I heard the car start up. And it was a V8, so you can hear it start up, especially when a woman's angry, all right? You can hear it start to back out of the driveway. I'm sitting there at that stage. I don't know if any of my children are here today. I think I saw Christy earlier. Anyway, three kids, and I think it was only three at that stage. Was Christy born? I was only two. Oh, that's safer. And anyway, so I'm sitting there with my two, we're sitting around a table where the argument had developed, and we're sitting there and it's all chaos and she's out the door. I heard the V8 start up, it backed out the driveway. You could hear it out the driveway. And then I thought, you idiot. She's leaving. It was over the money. It was over money. I remember now. It was over money. Suddenly came to me. Healing of the memories. And so it was over money. And I suddenly remembered, man, what am I? I don't want to stick here with all the bills. I'm going too. So I sprinted across our lounge area and we had a beautiful deck out the front and I bounced over the deck. The two kids are still sitting by the table, one of them in a high chair, and I bounced over the deck, ran across the lawn, and luckily she hadn't locked the doors. I managed to squeeze myself in the car before she left. Anyway, not a word spoken, but I'm in the passenger seat and we launch. It's like G-forces. We tear off up the road. We're screaming, we're going along the highway, phenomenal, breaking the law, and not a word spoken, and we live in a bit of a country area at that stage, and we happened to drive past a field that had sold like these donkeys and things in it, and so I just thought, what a great opportunity, and I said, those wouldn't be a relation of yours by any chance, would they? First words that had been spoken. First word spoken. And of course her response was, in a high pitched voice, was, yes, by relationship. And by marriage, that's right. And that right there was the end of our argument. We both laughed like you're laughing, turned the car around and went home to rescue the kids. And I think we're still rescuing them. So That's kind of how it works. So that's that verse. We could preach a whole message on that one verse, okay? It goes on, though. It says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take the garment of him who is surety to a stranger and hold it as a pledge when he is surety. Is any of this up there? No. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as a curse to him. So this, relationships are incredibly difficult. You think you're doing the right thing, but it's the wrong thing. You get up in the morning yelling out at your neighbor, you're an awesome guy, he's trying to sleep off the hangover from the night before. Doesn't work. But the big thing I want to say here is that friends are incredibly important in your life. And relationships are built around having people in your world that can actually stir you up and make you one of the most successful people on the planet. Let me read you a couple of verses out of Proverbs about this. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers. Now, we need wise people in our life. I want wisdom around me. I want people that I don't necessarily get on, but I want them in my life. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. There you go. Deep love. That's why we hugged before, okay? Deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins, okay? Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 4:32, here it is. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving. Everybody yell out forgiving. Forgiving. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. In John 15:13, this is what Jesus, greater love has no man than this than to lay down his life for one's friends. That's the greatest display of love, that you'd actually lay down your life for a friend and say, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be there for you. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward good deeds. You know, the reality is you've got people in your life to spur you on. Otherwise, we will stagnate. There's nothing worse. Try drinking stagnant water that's been there for a week or two. You won't like it. Stagnant people, result of not having people in our lives that stir us on to good works. The Bible is very clear on people in your life who can shape you and cause you to be great in your time. Life's too short to mess around, guys. Like yesterday I was 20, today I'm 66. I should say yesterday I was 33, today I'm 66 because I'm 2 times 30. I feel like I'm 2 times 33. Last night I got introduced as a lightweight boxer because they liked the way I was dancing on the front row. They introduced me as, you know, this 120, I don't even know if I'm 120 pounds, but whatever, 120 pound lightweight boxer coming to deliver last night. But stir one another on. Ephesians chapter 4 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. That's a hard one. Bear with one another. So you're not going to get on with everybody. In fact, the reality is, people say this to me, I'm just not compatible. In a marriage, they'll say to me, we sit down with people and they're telling us about how bad their marriage is or whatever, and they say, we're just not compatible. Well, you were never meant to be compatible. It's not about being compatible. It's about working together with our differences to be successful. That's the maturity of life. It's about a bigger goal than just you. And if we stop thinking about ourselves, we can all accomplish great things with our lives and make a difference in the world we live in. Be completely humble, gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity. Yell that out today. Unity. All together with one. See, I'm sure Julia's going to talk about this, but submission. See, we get scared when we hear the word submission. Oh, my God, you're not talking about that old-fashioned word, are you? Like submission. People hate the word. It used to be a term that was used often in marriage, usually with the completely wrong understanding. But submission, if you go back to the original meaning of the word, simply means under mission. and thousands live today outside of, they don't have a mission or a goal that we're headed toward, which I tell you can put great strength into your life, your marriage, your relationships, your friendships, and then you begin to be effective in everything you do. So the Bible's saying here, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Proverbs 31:10, you all know this one. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband, that's why I'm so confident, is full of confidence and lacks nothing. Woohoo! That's why I've been married 45 years. That's why when she tried to run away, I went with her and try to get it back together somehow. And here we are, we're still here today. 45 years later, still pressing on. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, okay, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God puts things together. Boy, you're quiet this morning. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Just listen. This is just all Bible. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. This is what God said. It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable to him. Okay? That's Julia. That's a whole lot of us here. That's you two about to get married any day, Caleb and Sarah. Heading in the right direction. Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all time and a brother is born in times of adversity. Four times of adversity, sorry. So it can be tricky having people around you that are going to speak into your life. Often when I meet people, I'm like this. Go up and meet, where's someone I never met? Here's a guy I haven't met recently. I think I met you for the first time today, actually. Remind me of your name, sir? Fong. All the way from Vietnam, what an honor and privilege. Peter.
Oh, yes.
Pete, isn't it?
Yes.
All the way from Vietnam, privileged to meet you. Normally when I meet people like that, excuse me, and I shake their hand, it's normally like this, forgive me. Forgive me. And the reason you have to say that today, sooner or later, you're going to offend somebody. And I found that relationships go on sweet for a little while, but it's amazing how easy people get offended. So just please forgive me. And they're like, what for? Because one day I will offend you in something I'll say. So, excuse me, I've got to drink some water. Too much yelling last night. Oh boy, that's good water. It's different to the day those guys put vodka in my glass. Is anybody still in the church when you were here when that happened? A few hands going up. Can you believe that? I'm the senior pastor. Got up to drink a glass of water one day and choked on it. And I'm like, what the heck? And I thought someone's poisoned me. So I put the glass down and got the bottle, which I won't do that experiment today, but I put the glass down and got the bottle because I thought, well, it must be something in the glass. So I got the bottle and swigged the bottle, and it was pure vodka. The good news is my preaching improved. Anyway. So forgiveness is a great key in this relationship discussion. And I'm going to let Julia give you some points now because I've given you all the Bible stuff. And so I wonder if you'd give my beautiful wife a huge hand clap as she comes and brings you the closure to this. Go, baby.
I'm not drinking that water because it will be poison now because it's got the most terrible cold and flu and I'm not having anything to do with that. Well, I do have to add to that story that we were not Christians when we did that little ride down the road. And we did not leave the one-year-old and the two-year-old home by themselves. We left them with the foster daughter. Is that really good? So that was, I don't know whether that's better or worse. But And just going on from what Don was sharing there, his voice is gone now, so it's me. You carry an atmosphere. You carry an atmosphere and a fragrance in your relationship and how you do life. Is that right? Okay, so you can walk around in unforgiveness, meanness, negativity, sarcasm, picking faults with others. Or you can walk around in grace and forgiveness and kindness and care, speaking encouragement into other people's lives that leaves a sweetness in spirit. And this can be in your marriage. It can be in your relationship with your children, with in church here, and also with God. And I love this. I'm actually preaching from my my journal. If you don't journal, you've got nothing to say and you're really not in relationship with God. But I loved this on Friday. I was reading this. I have about 4 daily reading books because it's just not enough. And I love this story about a husband who suspected his wife of losing her hearing. One night he positioned himself across the room from her as she sat in her favourite chair. With her back to him, very softly he says, "Can you hear me?" When she didn't answer, he moved closer and repeated softly, "Can you hear me?" Still no answer. Then he moved closer and said, "Can you hear me?" Still no answer. Finally he got up behind her chair and said right in her ear, "Can you hear me?" She looked at him right in the eye and said, "For the 4th time, yes." Sometimes you can project your fears and your problems onto others. I really like that because even in marriages, we project our problem onto our partner. And we pick and we pick and we pick. But really, it's our own problem. And the only person that we can change is ourselves. And if you don't like something about him, fix yourself. Be the most positive person. Well, how can I be positive when he's mean? Well, actually, you can change yourself very well. And I love the Word of God. You need to get into the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, get saved. That's my word for you. In Deuteronomy 6:4, you know what I love? In the beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, this huge garden with all this most beautiful fruit. I love fruit, vegetables, everything. It's all there. You can have everything. Can you imagine how wonderful it was? And there's one little sticky tree in the middle. You can have everything, but not that one thing. And what did they want? They wanted that one thing. Who's God to tell me? I can't have that one thing. You know, this just came into my head because Don and I used to have big, big rows over money before we got saved. And then we got saved and we were in debt. We were in debt before we became Christians, okay? Never enough. And then we became Christians and Don talks about his friend that challenged him about tithing. And you see, the problem with us as Christians, we have that big wage. You know, we earn a lot of money these days. I know we do have bills still. But we have this big wage. And there's just this one little bit in the middle and it's called the tithe. And in our heads is, gimme, 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 I want it. Do you know, taking that one thing, that one little thing, that tithe, can cause as much problem as touching the tree. Think about it. That came into my head. Because you know what, after we got saved, we gave. In fact, we gave a lot and we're never in debt again. You see, you can bring a curse on yourself when you take what's God's. just came into my head when he was talking about us fighting, because we used to fight about money quite a bit. That's probably one of the biggest problems in marriages. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, hear, O Albany, inspire. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you arise. You know, there's a big thing about loving God with all your heart. That means, church, God. And we work our life around God, the center point, the strength. But so many of us put me in the middle and we work God around me, my needs, my sport, my life, my everything. You know, this. We're talking about success, and God gives us all the rules for success, and it's in this word. But like a lot of things, we want to work it around me. And then we struggle and we find it hard to live our life because we want to work it around me, but you see, we've got to work it around God. And every morning, I sit, and Don can vouch for this, and anybody comes to stay at my house, I put worship on. Now, sometimes I don't get up and I don't feel great and I don't have a good attitude and I don't have a good atmosphere and I don't have a good fragrance about me, but I put on worship. And, you know, if you get really good worship in your life, it starts to change the way you think. So before you open the Bible, you've got stuff going on. So while I'm getting ready for getting dressed and getting ready, I have worship going, and he says here, I'm moving in your midst. I'm here working in this place. I'm a miracle worker, a promise keeper, a light in the darkness. How about this one? I'm a way maker. My God, that is who you are. Touching every heart, I worship you. Mending every heart, I worship you. Turning lives around, I worship you. See, words get in here and then you start to feel a bit victorious. You start to feel a bit nicer about yourself. Now, it doesn't matter what Don's doing. He's usually listening too. But if he's got a bad attitude, that's his problem. You see, I've got to deal with me. You see, I'm only accountable to God for me, and actually, it says here for my children, because it's saying here that I need to teach them diligently. Now, if I've got a really bad attitude and I suck, those kids aren't going to find out about a God who's a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Are they? He's going to light in the darkness. That is who you are. You see, this is my favorite song for the past, I don't know, 4 months. I just play it all the time because it changes me. And the connected one to it is I Raise a Hallelujah. Because I want to walk in victory, and I know that I don't. I know my nature. I can remember what I was like before I was a Christian. I was sarcastic. I probably gossiped a bit. And all of you are saying, oh, I've never gossiped. Well, you tell fibs as well. Have you ever talked about somebody? That's gossip. I think I used to stir strife too. I like to stir things up a bit when life got boring. Now I just, when life gets boring, I buy Don a new shirt. It bores me when I have to look at the same shirt every Sunday. I was showing Wayne last night. I said, oh, that bores me so badly. But you see, it changes me. I write it down, the word of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your might, your soul. Do you know, that takes a laying down of my life. That means when somebody says something against me, I'm not going to get upset because, see, God's got my back. I don't have an anxiety because I've laid my life down, and who cares what people say about me? Doesn't matter. Because I know what my God's saying about me, and he's got my back. Sometimes Don's annoying. I'm not going to stomp out of the house and drive down the road and not come back, because I know God's put us together, and we're so different. I'm orderly, and I like things quiet, and I like, he's noisy and all over the place. But you see, if he was just like me, it wouldn't work, because God's put us together in our differences to do something extraordinary. If your partner's annoying the heck out of you, why don't you just thank God for him and say, well, okay, you've got us on mission. I need to get on mission with him. What is the mission for our family? And get on mission and submit to the mission and your husband and get on with it. Then life's exciting. You know, you get to 66 and you think, what's happened with my life? And I think, oh, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I submit to God? Why didn't I do more for God? Why did I want it about me? You see, this is what changes the fragrance around your life. People want to be around you because you're excited. So I just texted a lady this week. She sang this beautiful song, and I said to her, that was so beautiful. And she texted me back. And then I texted her back and I said, and told her why. And she said, do you live in New Zealand? And I said, yes. And I live in North Shore and she lives in St. Helier's. And we got talking. She's now coming to sing at She next week. A Russian. Her name, if you want to look it up, it's Marina Bloom. Now, it was only because I said something nice about her. Nobody else had tagged her or said anything nice. But I said it. And I told her we're doing a fundraiser for She for breast cancer, because it's breast cancer awareness. We've got some girls coming to speak that are survivors of cancer. And she's coming to sing for nothing. See, if you get on mission with God's mission and be nice, it's amazing what opens up for you. And then you think, well, life's pretty good. See, relationships is about... Someone's got the about the atmosphere and the fragrance you carry into your relationship with God. You know, just sitting there and writing each day. You know, this what I read you is called the Shema. The Jews read it every day, read it out. They quote it to remind them that they're under submission to God together. They're on a mission together. The wives are submitted to their husbands because they're on mission together to change something together. And you all have a different mission. God has called you all. You see, if you go on, it says, for you are chosen to be a people for himself, a special treasure, isn't this right? Above all peoples on the face of the earth. You're God's treasure. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord did not see his love for you on you, did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than everybody else, but because he loves you and because he would keep an oath which he swore to your fathers. See, we're living under the blessing. And you want your children to live under the blessing? You need to be in submission to the mission of God, you and your husband, your children, your family, your life. And it's exciting. You get up every day and the world is far bigger than your little house. It's far bigger and you want to get up and it's exciting. And then you think to yourself by the end of the day, I wish I had done more. You know, doing it together, talking openly, laughing and being generous and gracious. You know, Don's sick at the moment. He's coughing all the time. I have to have grace. Do you know how annoying coughing is? God in the right place sets everything else into place. Work life around God, not God around your world. Love other people more. Pass it down the generations. This is huge. And I think actually men have a problem with this more than women. men, I've been married 45 years, men sometimes think you're psychic. You can read their minds. Guys, we can't read your minds. We need to communicate. And then we need to communicate this with our children because they can't read our minds. We need to get them on board with the mission because it's generation. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. See, it's going down your families. If you just get in on the mission, submit it to God. Amen? Is that good? Is this helping? Be encouraging to others. Even people in the church, okay? That's it. Love each other. Be kind to each other. And don't project your problem onto other people. Sort it out. Sort yourself out and let God sort your husband out, your kids out, and the person you're sitting beside. Okay, Jesse, God's sorting you out. Okay, I can sit beside you. Love you.
There you go. That's pretty good stuff on relationships. Did you get some good notes? Okay, just to finish off then, a couple of thoughts here. The goal, leadership goals, okay? The goal is, and here's some good words for you to write down just for that as we go home, all right? Let it go. That's a good goal for relationships. Let it go. Take on the Elsa attitude. You can't give Elsa your helium balloon because she'll let it go, all right? Let it go. If you've got anything against anybody, let it go, all right? That's number one, okay? Just another couple of things that are great goals, relationship goal, surrender. Surrender your life. All this is about surrender. Surrender your attitude, surrender your life, surrender, give it up, and let God, okay? Another goal, goal three, take responsibility. You know, what happens is, I see it all the time, people get in a meet. So people get together, someone instructs them in life, but you get bored with the instruction or you don't understand the language or you don't quite get it and you step away from it. My advice to you is press in. Press in. Find out what the truth that they are living, the truth that they are living, and apply it to your life and live in the victory of it because God's got more for you, okay? And I believe too many people are missing what God's got for them. Here we go. Final one, the goal of relationship, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a goal in relationship. That's your relationship with your Father in heaven, okay? You've got a great life to live. God's got a great plan for you. Let's close in prayer today. Father, I thank you right now for every relationship here, for every marriage. I thank you right now, God, for the great plans that you have for men and women in this place, individuals, young people, God, people who are yet discovering true life relationships in their life. Father, I pray that this wisdom would unlock potential in their world in Jesus' name. I pray right now, God, that every single person here would know what it is to have a relationship with God the Father. Lord, I pray right now, let that be the key relationship in this house in Jesus' mighty name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, I want to ask you this question, because if you're here today and you do not have a relationship with my God, if you do not intimately know him, if he is not your Lord, then I want to ask you today to make a choice here today and say, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Savior and my Lord. I want to know that I'm restored into relationship with the Father through the love of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with my God, just real quick lift your hand and I'll include you in a prayer this morning. Is there anybody there like that? Lift your hand, I'll include you in a prayer and we'll believe God for a miracle to happen in your life today and you can come into relationship with God through a credible love of Jesus Christ who said, God so loved that he gave his son. If you believe on him, you'll have everlasting life. Who is that right now? Just lift your hand quickly. And we'll pray for you today. Anybody God's speaking to about relationship with God right there? You're not right with God. You need to get right with God. You need to make that step in your life today. This would be a great opportunity right here in Inspire Church on this amazing Sunday. One more moment. Just anybody there? Don't only get right with God. Amen. Oh, no, one hand. Sorry, missed that. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Let's all stand together. Here's what we're going to do, okay? Relationships are so important to me. So important. This is not just a message. This is the extreme importance of your life. So before we close this service, here's what I want to do, all right? I want to challenge every person here about your relationships because relationships are ongoing. You'll affect one person, they'll affect another. They're huge. It's intertwined to what God wants to do in our nation, and our nation needs a revival right now. And so you and I are strategic in what God wants to do.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you like what you heard and want to continue listening, just click follow. Feel free to browse our previous sermons and save your favorites. Until next week's sermon, have a blessed week.